truth.org. Now, I was saying that trying to change any belief ultimately threatens the brain's experience of survival. She writes, we can apply this statement to efforts to educate people about any subject that contradicts a worldview, but applies especially to 9/11 due to the dire implications this contradictory evidence suggests. And speaking for myself, I was just talking about that. And the dire implication really is that you're out. You're on the outside. You're one of those people. That's the scare. And returning to the text, to open the mind to even one bit of seemingly inconsequential information, such as San Francisco Mayor Willie Brown having received a warning 8 hours in advance not to fly to New York on September 11th, 2001, can ripple through the entire system of belief about what happened on that fateful day, threatening one's sense of control and cohesion. How then can truth advocates become more effective, you want to know, in helping others receive contrary information about what really happened on 9/11? Lester offers several helpful suggestions, she writes, for how to challenge worldviews, including the following. Skeptics must learn to always discuss not just the specific topic addressed by the data, but the implications that changing the related beliefs will have for the fundamental worldview and belief system of the affected individuals. Remember what I was saying? And I'm moving away from what's written down here. Remember what I was saying, that you got to say, okay, this is going to put you on the outs, but I'm with you. Stick with me on this. I mean, if you're not going to, I mean, the reason the truth threatens is because it puts you on the outs. And so you've got to be there. And I want to say that, you know, hello, I'm here. And I've tried to be consistent about this. And there are many, many people who are with you. Maybe that's the other thing. It's like, don't believe the fact. the fact. Let me put that in quotation marks. Don't believe the idea that people who question the official version of 9/11 are a tiny minority. No, not tiny. I'm not even sure if it's a minority. Maybe it's still a minority, but it's not tiny. And it's getting bigger all the time. Sad to say, 13 years of war later. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Unfortunately, addressing belief systems is a much more complicated and daunting task than simply presenting contradictory evidence. And Harry is on the air.
Ah, good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
I have a couple comments about 9/11.
All right.
First is, you ever heard the analogy of killing two birds with one stone?
Sure.
Yeah, well, this is two planes and three buildings.
Yeah, funny that.
Yeah, and the building number 7, and when it caught fire, well, don't these buildings have sprinkler systems? Wouldn't that put it out?
Well, sure, and there's more to that, certainly. I mean, we're being asked to believe that a fire that has never destroyed a skyscraper in that manner suddenly caused these three buildings, and yes, we're talking about three in New York, we're not counting the Pentagon, three buildings, buildings 1, 2, and 7, which wasn't hit by anything, to suddenly collapse, to suddenly turn to dust, and to fall straight down, as the architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth point out, against their strongest structures in a manner that has never been replicated and never will be,
yeah,
without very professionally placed explosives.
Yeah, and about the Pentagon. The Pentagon is the largest building in the world by square feet. Why did it hit the side of the building instead of the top?
Well, and how did they hit this? I mean, that's a whole other question. How did they hit the side of the building when this guy, who was supposedly flying it, couldn't even land a Cessna, and all of a sudden he's such an amazing fighter pilot that he can take G-forces that would squash any other human being and zap that thing right along the ground, zoom right into the side of the building, and somehow made the wings disappear too. Oh, yeah, there's lots of questions. And where did all the videotapes of that plane go?
That's true. And my last comment is, they're rebuilding the World Trade Center. And if you look at it, it looks like the monolith. Remember the movie 2001: Space Odyssey, the
sure.
beginning? It looks just like the monolith.
Makes me want to throw a bone at it.
Yeah.
All right, well.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call. Number to call, 503-231-8187. And this is, of course, 9/11-2014. It's many years after 9/11-1973, and it's somewhat fewer years after 9/11-2001, and I'm asking for your comments and questions. I am disputing the official story of 9/11. I am disputing the official story of ISIS. I'm calling for opposition to the war and to all the U.S. imperial wars at this time. And I believe Joanna is on the air. Juliana is on the air.
That's fine. Hi, I'm Juliana. I call in from Netherlands, which is a country in Amsterdam, precisely in Europe.
I've heard of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tiny little country. I'm glad you heard of it. The thing is, like, I'm sorry to kind of go in between something that, you know, like, you guys are American, and this thing had kind of effect all over the world. War in general, and has affected all over the world. I would like only to give a little. I want to go really quick about what I want to say.
Please then.
I analyze it a bit on a logical level. Let's say that I don't want to give 100% of possibility to the fact that is something happened to provoke a state of control. I would like also to give to the fact that it might have been. Let's put 0.1% of this a terrorist attack, just up in the air, no? But used possibly. I don't know. From that, you can also go in any direction. Maybe they knew it already. Maybe they helped them to go on what they wanted to finalize as an idea to have control or to monitor everybody. I don't know, like the Patriot Act and everything else. The consequence is that if this happened, and if your government is involved into this, it's pretty shitty to have killed all these your own people. And I don't know, like it's
engineer. We're going to have to bleep a word. FCC. I'm sorry, FCC controlled airspace. We'll have to bleep that.
Can I?
Go ahead.
But I think it's a heavy burden to take. And it's a pretty intense thing. I don't know. Like, I imagine you guys are all shocked, because the thing is, if something like this happens, it will be on the news. I mean, it's kind of logical. Again, it will be on the news. Like the guy who talked before me, it would be on the news. Like that the Pentagon pictures. But after the fact,
are you saying that the dissent against the official story would be on the news?
Yeah, the official. I mean,
why would it be on the news?
You will have more information about the people who got arrested, who were on the flight. You know, there will be like a block of the airport trying to contact the families of these people that were supposed to be the terrorists on the flight. But there's been total silence. If maybe in Europe happened, or also in your news, that there will be not really a research about who did it, why they did it. What is like the motivations? There's been no information about this. There's been a total cover up of info. There was nothing came really out. I'm sorry for my English. Maybe it's a bit of.
You're doing all right. But are you saying that? That the official story would have been contradicted on the U.S. media?
I don't watch the U.S. media as much, because I'm more like on the BBC and our European news. But the thing is, like, after the fact, if it's such a huge thing that happened in your country, as it seems like, the aftermath of the incident didn't it should have been like in the news who the people on the flight were, who their family were, what happened exactly. And more info about this, the guy who called before about the Pentagon.
Well,
blah, blah, blah.
Sure, perhaps it should have been, but that's not how the U.S. news operations, that's not how United States media works. This is corporate-owned media. It supports the government and its wars. It is owned by people who support the wars. This is what we expect from it.
Yeah, I understand that, but this is still very weird, because that you had the other incident I'm referring to the other incident that you have, the bombing in Boston, and after that there was the guys who got arrested, the mother of the guy, you had a bit of information on that count, but after 9/11 there was not. I'm sorry, but I think there was it is a strange event. I mean, on the outside point of view. it is a strange event, definitely, you know.
So but, let me I ask mean, you this. When you watch the buildings fall in the videotapes, do you observe a detonation or do you believe the official story?
To be honest with you, I can totally see the detonation. I mean, I but you know, like it's the other side is like, okay, you know, on the other side, I also accept a tiny bit of me accepted the theory that there has been an attack to your country, because obviously if you go to attack Iraq, you can expect that people in the country react against you. I mean,
I'm very flattered that you would call all the way from Amsterdam, and I thank you for calling. I think that I should limit the length of this call, however, so I can get other people on the air. Once again, thanks very much for calling. The number to call, 503-231-8187. And I've been talking about how what you think you see in those 9/11 videotapes is very heavily affected by what the society needs you to see. And if you can clear your head, you can actually see what's happening. And number to call, 503-231-8187, and Dan's on the air.
Teresa, good morning. Obviously, it's a controlled demolition. No steel building has collapsed from fire in history.
F=MA, whether anyone likes it or not.
I have a real question or a black hole of lack of knowledge. How is it that, okay, we've got three buildings wired up, presumably. How many people does that take over, you know, what, 48 hours?
No one knew
how
that.
How is it that none of it has come out, that it has remained such an airtight thing? Have lots of people died being hit by trucks or... you know, at a certain point in conspiracy, somebody has a change of heart and tries to get some info out. There's been none of that, and it's awfully peculiar.
I would say there's been plenty of that.
Your thoughts and the audience's thoughts.
I would say there's been plenty of that. As for those who actually laid the demolitions, I have no doubt that they're either fiercely loyal or dead. That's how that sort of thing tends to work. But that's speculation, isn't it? I mean, we can see that there is a detonation has taken place, and I don't really need to go further. I don't need to say how it was done. I can say that it's, you know, since there's no limit on the amount of time, charges could and probably were placed over a period of months. There's been speculation that they were placed in the elevator system during building shutdowns. These are proprietary buildings. When the owners wanted to shut them down, they could just shut them down. And they did. There is a record of that. So any sappers who went up there and laid those charges, I think, can be counted on to shut up. And there's not that many of them. If they had plenty of time to do it, then you don't need an army of people going in there. You can just have a few people go in over a period of a month or however long it takes to lay the charges, set them up so that, as you can see, they're detonated in sequence and very well.
Yeah. One last comment, if I may, and it goes to the thesis of your program. It's astounding the way this has become the absolute great taboo. And if you do raise this, and I'm pointing a finger at you, Amy Goodman, who I respect and who certainly is fearless in almost every other respect, but, you know, it's just, it's the great taboo, and if you dare to raise it, you are dismissed from serious consideration. And it's you know, the 800-pound elephant under the carpet that everybody's ignoring.
Yes, isn't that amazing? I mean, on a very cold and cynical level, this stunt 9/11 represents a masterful analysis of group psychology. Absolutely amazingly scientifically masterful analysis. Perfect. Well done in a really horrible way.
You've got to be willing to sacrifice a prominent career and try to make some noise.
Well, you certainly will sacrifice it. But and as I was saying, the way to, you know, we have to be aware that just presenting contradictory evidence isn't going to be sufficient. We have to be there for each other. We have to say, okay, this is going to disrupt everything, and we're with you.
Well, every time I give my pittance to K-Boo, I say this is for Teresa Mitchell. You carry on.
Thanks very much.
All righty.
Thanks for the boost. Okay, the number to call, 503-231-8187. It's 944 in Cascadia, and you're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland, disputing the official story of 9/11, standing against the current continuation and amplification of the war against the people in the Middle East. And Scott is on the air.
Oh, I'm on the air?
Yeah.
Is it okay to mention the Middle East ISIL, or do I have to give my opinion on the building collapse?
No, we're talking about ISIL as well.
Oh, thanks, because that's what I had in my mind. And I thought, yes, we went in and just blew up Iraq, and sort of we caused the situation. I bet you and I agree on that. I mean, the instability. But now it is what it is. You know, and yes, we caused it, or we had a gigantic, foolish hand in causing it anyway.
I would disagree that when you say it is a foolish thing, this is not the appearance and the power and the logistics of ISIS are not some foolish mistake. They are being armed. And most recently, you hear Congress is being asked for $500,000 to give to Syrian rebels, the anti-Assad forces that the U.S. pretends still have some force there. I can't remember the name of them just now. But, of course, you know, with the Snickers bar and a handshake, they're going to give it to ISIS because ISIS is so handy.
They seem to wind up with it, don't they? But my question was, Teresa, given the situation as it stands, if they really are, if it's true press that they're slaughtering genocidally, you know, what can we do? I mean, this it may be a conundrum with no answer to it.
We can stop paying them for one thing.
Pardon me?
We can stop paying them for one thing.
Paying who?
ISIS.
Oh, we're paying ISIS?
That's what I'm saying. That money being appropriated to the Free Syrian Rebels is, of course, going to go to ISIS. And where do you think they got their money in the first place? Do you really think they robbed banks for it?
I think
they got
over.
It from the Saudis. They got it while they were training in Jordan. They got it from the CIA, which has more money than you would believe, and whose budget is not even reviewed by Congress in a blatant violation of the Constitution.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, I hadn't examined where. I figured they just took over some of the supplies we sent, you know, some of the armaments we sent. They just got them. They took them, is what I figured.
Well, people have been doing that. I'm sure some of that is going on, but they didn't get that. They didn't get that fleet of Toyota pickup trucks by, you know, robbing them from a dealership.
Yes, well, and my last comment would be to go in there alone seems just another foolhardy mistake. We don't want to do that. It's got to be a coalition, and it's got to be arming the people who would want to fight them, you know, and stuff. But it's pretty tough to rationalize that we're going to do anything good over there after the mistakes we've made. Whew. Anyway, so.
Okay, well, I'm going to... I guess the way I'm going to handle this is I thank you for your call. I am going to counter what you say. I'm not getting down on you, all right? I'm going to
That's
counter
right.
what you
Whatever
say.
Whatever you do.
All right.
Thanks.
Number to call, 503-231-8187. I just want to be better about this than I have been in the past. I mean, I'll admit I've given myself a lot of slack under the category of polemics and a little too much when I get down on what a caller says after the caller hangs up. But I am repeating myself when I say this, and I don't believe that and I don't see why anyone, actually, if you look at what's happening, if you remember just a few years ago, why would anyone believe that ISIS just, you know, popped up accidentally? It's not an accident. And when you say we, you're buying into the whole war paradigm. There's no we here. This war is being conducted for a very tiny group of oil billionaires. This has nothing to do with your wealth or health. ISIS is not a threat to you. 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 Think about it. It's nonsense from the get-go. The threat to you is the secret police state. The threat to you is a government that will not respond to what you want and will not admit to what it's doing. Why is the CIA budget a black budget? You know, where is the terrible, terrible enemy that, the mid-1940s, early 1940s, the U.S. was at war against terrible, terrible enemies. And there's a lot to be said about that. There was certainly imperial competition involved. There was deception involved. And there was a large deception called the Manhattan Project. And this was a production of the atomic bomb. And that budget was kept secret from the Japanese and kept secret from the Nazis. One could argue that there were good reasons for that. These were massive well-armed and competitively, this is the part that people forget, I think, competitively armed people who slaughtered millions of people, a terrible and actual existential threat. There is no existential threat from ISIS, a group that the U.S. is, as I say, continuously supporting. This is simply a stunt that is being used to divide up the former Iraq. ISIS, or what's, you know, whatever we call what ISIS turns into, we won't call it ISIS, you know, we'll say, oh, it's the good guys now. The Sunni Muslims that are being represented by this little faction are going to have a chunk of Iraq, and they're going to compete for oil profits with the Kurds, and those two are going to compete for oil profits with what's left of the Shia part of the former Iraq. That's what's being set up here. There's nothing really mysterious about it. This is the U.S. acting as it always has. And all it requires is that you take a deep breath, look at history, and observe what you're observing. Number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187, and LJ is on the air.
Hey, Teresa, how are you?
Doing well, thanks.
Okay, listen, while we're on the subject, do you suppose that we can talk about the unholy alliance that former presidents and present presidents, government of the Imperial Empire has with the Saudi royal family? All right. The Saudi royal family, as I understand it, beheaded 134 people last year for sedition, and also alleged accused drug dealing. All right. I also understand that the Saudi royals, and this is done publicly, by the way, and then I understand that for women who are accused of adultery, they get stoned to death, right?
After they're raped,
they get stoned, all right? If we're so concerned about the violation of human rights, then how come the Saudi royal family always gets the get-out-of-jail-free card? And just one more thing, I want to remind our listeners that 11 out of the 12 alleged attackers on the World Trade Center, they were all Saudi citizens. And can we also talk about the $60 billion deal that Hillary made for armaments to the Saudi royal family, the largest arms deal ever?
Well, and speaking of 100 years ago, I mean, this... The Saudi royal family is a construction of the West, and this is the pattern. There was a group called the Young Turks. There was an effort to democratize the Middle East, getting on to the last century ago, and I'm being a little imprecise by a generation, I'm sorry. But this is, you know, Saudi royal family is a construction of the West, and it's a rather disgusting construction, and yeah, they are medievalist, and... it's hard for me to, it's just like I'm saying when I'm talking about Israeli militarism, for example. I can really rant against them, but, you know, I live in the United States. I need to rant against the Pentagon first. I mean, mm-hmm. We're torturing people all over the globe.
Yeah, I mean, come on, Teresa. After all, we are responsible for the, we're culpable in the murder of innocent people, starting from the Native American population. What do we kill a million people in Vietnam for a war based on a lie?
Yeah, for oil, tin, rubber, and rice to the elites. And
right.
Now those elites are even more powerful than ever, which, of course, is what happens when you let them have their way. Thanks you very much for your call.
Thank you.
I have a couple more calls coming in and see if I can get to them before the top of the hour. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland on this Imperial War Excuse Day. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. 8187, Susanna's on the air.
Hi. So, one quick comment on ISIS before I make a comment on the Pentagon. Saudi, from the last caller, Saudi Arabia is funding ISIS on top of everything else.
Yes, indeed, and so is the CIA.
Pardon me?
Yes, and so is the CIA.
Yeah. So, also, ISIS has been welcomed until, I mean, they're a nasty group, and they're not always happy. People aren't always happy after they're there, but they're welcome because the infrastructure in those towns are so devastated by our past policies and our support of the last Iraqi president. So anyway, but that's my comment on that. But on the Pentagon, I was through my satellite TiVo recording last year on 9/11. I looked at pictures of the Pentagon, and you can make a super slow fast or forward, and I was watching the Pentagon exploding from theoretically the plane, and I got it super slow because you only had a very small side view from the Pentagon out, but there was no plane, and it put to me, and no rocket, to me it just looked like an internal bomb explosion.
There's something like 100 videos that have been disappeared from everything from gas stations to dash cams. It's all gone.
Of other people that had pictures of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all, it was, I put it on the doorstep of Dick Cheney is orchestrating it with the
Dick Cheney and Don Rumsfeld, they have been active in this sort of skullduggery since Nixon.
Yeah, he's one creepy guy. But anyway, those are my comments. Thanks for the show.
Thanks for your call. Number to call, 503-231-8187. I've been talking about the masterful manipulation of the society. We are, in fact, being well manipulated. I think that's our only excuse, really, for the horror that the United States people have participated in, is that we have been so powerfully and skillfully manipulated, deceived. And I'll just have to check with the engineer. Did you say Scott?
Frost.
Frost is on the
air. Hi, Teresa. Thank you for taking my call. I do want to touch base on that, the comment you made about not jumping right to the contradiction. I think that's an issue that we really have as a society. If we try to break from this, you know, we often have one side or the other. You know, you have the Republican and the Democrats. And I've often been, you know, aligned myself with independent thinking, and which often, as you say, can put you on the out. So, it is, I think, troubling as a society to try to question, you know, the bigger scheme of what happened on 9/11.
We are social animals, and when we present the sort of contradictory information, we're just going to have to get used to comforting people. We're going to have to say, okay, I'm on your side, and this is why I have this information.
Absolutely. You know, but the pushback you get from so many people, like, don't want to talk about it. It's very uncomfortable.
Oh, sure. Really, like, as I was saying, it's an existential threat because it puts you outside the group, or it makes you believe you're outside the group, which is the same thing.
You know, so you get that sense of anomaly, and that's, you know, that's not a comfortable place to be. You know, so I think with, you know, this is also like, you know, an opportunity to expose other things, whether it be our diet or, you know, our social engagements, you know, who and how we align ourselves with our communities. But the three things I would add to, you know, what we have as far as the funding of, you know, the Israel occupation of Palestine needs to stop and be evaluated. You know, I think that's first and foremost. Going to the 9/11 on the anniversary, I think my comment was, and things I've dug into, I'm an industrial designer. I've talked to GE designers that worked on the 777 engines. Never in aviation history has a motor or an engine completely vaporized. It hasn't happened. Buildings don't drop on their own unless they're coerced by...
Of course not. Yeah, it's these impossibilities that just... They pile up on each other.
But the story itself seems more impossible to even swallow, and that's where, like, you get, you know, this opportunity for, you know, to sell the big lie.
Sure. Yeah. It's,
so my two things would be to add to the story and whatnot is, okay. I saw I believe it was Purdue, but I'm gonna say it's a university study that talked about holographic overlays into the second building, and then also then what really rippled my skin is seeing this ancient Chinese city that was holographically put over a body of water that looks so real you could touch it. So if you can get somebody to believe it and see it, especially in math.
If the point is deception is possible, yeah, I have to agree with that. Well, it looks like I'm running out of time.
Wonderful studies. I'm going to let you go, and thank you so much for the time.
Thanks for calling in. All right, you're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland, and coming up, Air Cascadia headlines, interviews, and commentary, 10:15 flashpoints at 11, between the covers, and 11:30 words and pictures. The topic is Dark Horse Comics Mandela. And... thanks for staying tuned to KBOO Portland. You'll enjoy, and you will be edified by further listening. So stay right here. We're broadcasting on 90.7 FM in Cascadia, other frequencies elsewhere, and on the World Wide Web to all the ships at sea.
You are listening to the Mighty Boo KBOO Portland. Coming up, we've got Air Cascadia with Chris Andre. We're about 15 minutes away from Flashpoints. Today on the show, does Obama have the right to go to war against ISIS without the consent of Congress? All that and more. At 11 on Between the Covers, host David Naiman interviews writer Ben Parzabak about his new novel, Sherwood Nation, set in a near-future Portland in a state of collapse. And at 11:30, it's Words and Pictures. That's all coming up this morning on KBOO. Stick around. Air Cascadia is next.
This September, KBOO Movie Night at the Clinton Street Theater will be the Transatlantic Sessions on Thursday, September 11th at 7 p.m. The Transatlantic Sessions is the collective title for a live performance of renowned musicians playing folk, country, and bluegrass from Scotland, Ireland, England, and North America. These transatlantic jams are filled by the hearth in beautiful Scottish castles and are called by the Guardian News a traditional musician's love-in. Bella Fleck and Ali Bain are some of the many musicians featured. That's the Transatlantic Sessions, Volumes 1 through 4, on Thursday, September 11th at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street. More information can be found at kvu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Thursday, September 11th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Radio Benghazi. Today's guest is Lauren Regan with the Civil Liberties Defense Center. The center does the heavy lifting in many of the cases flowing through our state court systems. Many protests.